Good morning. You guys sing really well. I wish you guys could hear what we hear. It's beautiful. Ephesians chapter 5. Today we're going to be in verses 7 through 14. Ephesians 5, verses 7 through 14. I'm in Romans. Wrong ribbon. It says, therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for your word that sanctifies, that brings the knowledge of you, that brings the knowledge of Christ, that brings salvation to us. Father, it's a weighty thing as a sinful man to proclaim a holy word. So give me much grace. Your word is holy. And I pray that you would honor it this day as we seek to honor your word. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, minds to think, and hearts to receive. And may your word bring fruit in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we turned in chapter 4, right, we got to the outworking, the application, the practicality of what Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians. He spent the first three chapters, if you remember, unloading this rich doctrine, the teaching aspect of the book. And then as we turn the corner in chapter 4, so to speak, he shifts to the practical outworking of what this teaching does in the life of believers. First, Paul has called us to walk in a worthy manner of our calling. Right? Our calling has separated us from the world and has made us a family in Christ. We saw that as he said that there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we are separate from the world as a family. We're called to walk in a worthy manner. Unlike the world, we, through the effectual work of the Holy Spirit within us, conduct ourselves, according to verse 2, in gentleness and humility. Right? And it, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul has first called us to walk in a worthy manner. He then calls us to walk in unity, right? Christ has given gifts to men. He's given abilities to men in his church. And he called us to walk in unity, to be at peace with one another, first off, right? But also within that unity to operate and function as a family, as a church, by using our gifts and abilities that he's given us. We saw many types of gifts throughout that. We each have gifts, and these gifts work together to bring glory to God in and through his church. So we were called to walk in unity. He has called us to walk in newness of life by putting off the old self, being renewed in the spirit of the mind in chapter 4. And by putting on the new self, there's a putting on, there's a renewing that takes place by the work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart and mind. And with that, we put off that old, we put on the new self in order to glorify God. He called us to walk in love, as we saw last 2 weeks ago. Called us to walk in love, and Christ, who gave himself up for us, is the example of love. Right, that is love. Love is sacrificial, as we saw. And in verses 3 through 6, we saw what love perverted looks like, what a counterfeit love looks like through those idolatry things that Paul mentioned: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthy language, filthy talk. So we were called to walk in love, and what we've seen is a bunch of contrasts, which is super helpful so that we can understand the right walk and the wrong walk, the walk we've been called out of and the walk we have been called to. So the contrast is just, contrast is a comparison to show the difference between two things, right? We contrast things to show their difference. And that is what Paul has been doing in the latter half of chapter 4. He gave us some vices, and he told us, this is what you don't do, this is what you do, this is why. This is what you don't do, this is what you are to do, this is why. We've seen contrast throughout the book of Ephesians, and today we see the greatest contrast that there possibly could be. There is no greater contrast than that of light and darkness. So this should help us to see the difference between what it looks like to walk in light and to walk in darkness, that we might examine ourselves and that we might be built up in the faith, and that his church might glorify him in a greater way. Darkness is the absence of light, more so than it is the opposite of light. It is, in a sense, the opposite of light, but it is for sure the absence of light. You can't turn on darkness and make the light go away, but you can turn on light and dispel the darkness, right? In fact, it is impossible for light and darkness to exist simultaneously together. It is not possible, right? It can't happen. And that's exactly the point that Paul is making here concerning Christians. Light and darkness cannot exist together. Light is illumination, right? Without it, we walk in darkness, which is ignorance and dangerous. A couple months ago, on a Wednesday night, the little stand was sitting right up here, and the side lights had been turned off from the back, and we left these on, and I thought, uh-oh. So I ran up here to turn off these lights, and it was pitch black in here, and I thought, I got this. So I did make it off the stage without hitting any of this stuff, and as I start to walk this way, I smashed my toe on that stand, about took a toenail off. Ouch, you know? Because I couldn't see where I was going, right? We need illumination to see where we're going, to see truth, to see what is. Right? Nobody in their right mind that has the light, metaphorically speaking, would get in their vehicle at night and drive down Highway 9 with no headlights on going 65 miles an hour. Right? That's not very wise. But that's what the world's doing. They're in darkness. Right? And that's how they are navigating through this life, in darkness, in danger, in ignorance. We're not to be that way. The fact that the sun rises every morning to give us natural light reveals the glory of God and his creation. But more than that, God is light. And the conduit by which we see the light who God is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Right? God is revealed through his Son whom he has sent. John 8, 12 says again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Just as the headlights on our cars illuminate our path and keep us on the road, so Christ is the light who illuminates our path and keeps us on the narrow path that leads to life. That leads to life, that exposes in our path dangerous obstacles, that exposes in our path potential damaging sins, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5 says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. The day he's referring to in that context is the day of the Lord, the day in which God will execute judgment on sinners. His wrath will be poured out, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. That is light. God is light, expressed through Christ, who reveals his light to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, making us light. The other side of that contrast is darkness, right? Darkness is depravity. It's deception. It's spiritual death, according to Ephesians 2:1. And we saw that a few weeks back in Ephesians 4:17 through 19. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. If you remember, futility means void. They are void of God. They are void of light. They are driving down the highway at night with no headlights and no way to see what is in their path, and they could care less because they're ignorant. They do not have the light. Their minds are void of God. Futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of that ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. There we have that depravity, that deadness in sin, right? They have become callous even. They don't even care that they sin. They don't even care that they are void of God. They care nothing about God. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, to deception. Darkness is deception. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. We are called to imitate God as children of light. And in order to do so, we must know God. We must know God. In verses 7 and 8, we see that light reveals God. Light reveals God. When we come to know the living God, that union produces in us godly fruit. And so in verses 9 and 10, we see that light produces fruit. Finally, in verses 11 through 14, we see that light exposes what is wrong. Light exposes what is wrong. Light reveals God. Light produces fruit. Light exposes what is wrong. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. Light reveals God. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I'm going back and grabbing verse 7 that we kind of covered last time, but the therefore connects back to being imitators of God. Right? And what follows, right? The opposite of being an imitator of God, being an imitator of the world, right? That's what we're looking back to. It connects back to being imitators of God because we are to be imitators of God. We must not partner with the world and their ways. Do not become partners with them. And what are their ways? We saw that it's sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthy talk, unhealthy talk, unwholesome talk, and everything that encompasses, right? Crude joking, right? And the word partners is used in the opposite manner. It was used in the opposite manner back in chapter 3, verse 6. It says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. We are called to be partakers of Christ, right? We are called to be partakers in his church. We are to bind ourselves to, we are to yoke ourselves to Christ and his church. That partaker is the same word in that sentence that it is here in chapter 5. Do not partner with them. We have nothing in common. We used to. We have a new family. Paul is not saying to avoid all contact with non-believers. That's not what's being said, and many people allude to that over the years I've heard, right? We're to completely cut off all communication with all non-believers. If that's the case, the light will not go forth. And the gospel will not go forth, right? And that's God is all in the business of saving his sheep, and he does throw through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? So it's not saying that we are to not have contact with non-believers, but to avoid joining with them in their sinfulness, right? And we see this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. A yoke is the very thing that connects a horse to a buggy, right? You wouldn't put a buggy and a yoke on a house cat. It wouldn't do you any good, right? It's not compatible. We're not compatible with the world. We are not to be yoked with unbelievers. That is to say, we're not to communicate with them. We must at our workplace, right? That is to not say that we shouldn't reach out to them, that we can't communicate them at a base level. But we have nothing in common with darkness. We are children of light, right? So we're not to conduct ourselves as they conduct themselves. We're not to be partakers of the same lifestyle, of the same speech, of the same actions as they, right? For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? I like this. This is right on the point for this text. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? They contradict one another. They can't exist at the same time. One is day. One is night. Right? Verse 8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Right? Light reveals God. You were darkness. Notice Paul does not say you were in darkness, though you were. You were in darkness, but you were darkness. You were darkness. Darkness, again, is the absence of light. And we see this, saw this in Ephesians chapter 2, right? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Right? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were absent of light. You were darkness. You were dead. There was no life in you at all, right? You were following the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Right? When God created the world, there was no light until he commanded that light to appear. Until God said, let there be light, there was utter darkness. He then made distinction between light and its opposite, darkness, which he called night. God had to do something. The light just didn't appear on its own. God had to proactively speak light into existence. And in the same way, God has shown into us the glory of Christ. The light had to come on. God had to do his work in us, right? Just like when God said, let there be light. Just like Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Just like later in chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And here we see, but now you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, You were in darkness. Now you're not only in the light, you are the light. The light is in you. You are the light, and light reveals God. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now he has risen us from that spiritual grave in Ephesians 2:1. He has removed us from the power of darkness, from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are light. Right? John 1:4-5. In Him, that is Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shine has shone in your darkness if you are in Christ. And the darkness has not overcome it. That's the effectual call of God. That is the irresistible grace of God that when it calls, you cannot resist. It effectually calls you. When the light shines in you, darkness can't overcome it. You are now light in God, light in Christ. The light of Christ has shone in you. As bearers of light, we are then commanded to walk in light. If we are something, that will be revealed in our walk, will it not? Right? Walk as children of light. 1 John 2, 5 through 7 says, This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's a profession, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's practice. That is to say, we profess that we are light, but we walk in darkness. We're self-deceived because our practice does not match our profession or confession, right? Verse 7 goes on to say, but if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? There we see a life that professes and their practice is light. Right? My stepdad used to tell me, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Right? Because that's its practice. That's its action, which reveals who it is, what it is. Right? If we conduct ourselves as children of light, the world will know that we are His. And we have assurance that we are His because of His work in and through us, right? This is a call to be children of light, to walk in light. If you are a child of light, walking in the light means we consider Jesus as the light in this world, and we walk in that light by following His precepts, living in His power and growing in His grace. Obedience. An obedient life is evidence of Christ's work in us, right? As the light's work in us. What this demands from us is that we would examine our lives in this contrast of light and darkness by asking ourselves, does my practice line up with what I profess? And we don't want to wait till it's too late to do that. Right? I remember one time, a long time ago, we had an applicant at the fire department who had this impressive training record. He had firefighter one, which is a basic qualification for a firefighter. It's not advanced, but it covers a broad spectrum. If you've gone through firefighter one, that says a lot. You can operate. Even if you have no experience, I can trust you to take care of basic stuff. And so we thought, hey, this is a good deal. We get to put this guy on the fire department. We had a house fire not long after that. I was in the hot seat. I was going to grab the hose and go in the burning house. And he was on the side where the tools are. And I'm about to put my mask on. We're a block away. I'm ready to roll. Seconds count. I tell him, get the Halligan tool. right? That is the most common tool on a fire truck that everybody knows with any level of training. And so I get out, I get up there, and I got my mask on, I'm about to clip in, I got the hose charged, about to go in, adrenaline's pumping. I turn around, and he brought me one of those little Public Works T-handle water shutoff valves. I'm like, that's not gonna help me out. I looked at somebody else and said, go give me the halogen. And you could see the shame on his face. He was exposed. He didn't know. He lied. Right? What he said and what he did not match up. Right? And if we say we are children of light, if we profess to be believers, and we go out into the world, our conduct, our practice should match our profession, right? We don't want to be the self-deceived ones who it's too late. For that guy, he cost me minutes when seconds counted, right? And in our lives, we don't want to get to the end and wonder, is my life in vain? Am I self-deceived? But we should examine ourselves to see if we are children of light, and we are children of light when we conduct ourselves, when we walk as children of light. God reveals light. Jesus is that light. He makes us light. Therefore, he calls us to walk in light, to bear the fruit of one who is in light. And that's what we see next, that light produces fruit. Verse 9 and 10 says, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." Right? Fruit, naturally speaking, sustains life. That is the purpose of fruit. But it also says a lot about the tree that it came from. Right? A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. And a tree produces after its own kind. Right? The fruit of light here is first goodness. Goodness, according to Eastman's Bible Dictionary, goodness in man is not mere passive, it's not a mere passive quality, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong. Goodness is choosing right over wrong as revealed by Scripture. The firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil. Goodness is resisting what we know is evil and clinging to what is good, right? And the choosing and following of all moral good. That is goodness. Goodness, Warren Wiersbe says, is love in action. Is love in action. Out of our love for Christ, we choose right over wrong. Right? We resist evil and follow after moral good because light produces goodness. The fruit of light produces righteousness. It says, what is right? Right? Righteousness means rightness of character before God and rightness of actions before men. Rightness of character before God and rightness of actions before men. Both of these qualities are based on truth, which is conformity to the word and will of God. The fruit that is good, right, and true glorifies God and shines the light upon men. Right? To walk as children of light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. Right? It's relatively easy to hide things from other people because they can't see our hearts and they can't see our minds. It's pretty easy to do. I can hide from you. I can't hide from God. Right? Hebrews 4:13 says that no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's, I'm sure all of you have been through an airport, right? They've got those scanners and you throw your bags in the deal and they go through. And walking with a good conscience before God is like going through one of those, as long as you don't have a bomb, a gun, or a knife, right? Nobody wants to go through there, but we appreciate it because we don't want somebody to carry a bomb on a plane, right? And so we walk through those things knowing that it sees all, but we have a good conscience because they pretty much stripped us before we got there, right? That's how we should walk before God, with confidence. Because we are constantly examining ourselves, constantly laying our sins down and not picking them back up, and continuing to be sanctified, that which means to grow in grace, to rid ourselves of sin over time and become more like Christ over time. Right? The question we must ask ourselves is, does my life reflect these fruits? Because light produces fruit, our lives should produce these fruits. If we are children of light, only you can answer that question in its purest sense, right? God's scanner is always on, per se. And as children of light, we should walk before God in confidence because we're His, right? Do you live accordingly? Yeah, do you live accordingly to goodness, righteousness, and truth? Verse 10 says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That sounds funny. Try, which we should, right? It means to examine. It means to test, right? James has been talking about a testing, God testing us. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Right, this looks different for each of us. Some of us are more mature in the faith. That is to say, we've been in the Word longer. Some of us have been in the Word a less amount of time. We're spiritually speaking, infants in Christ, maybe. Right, and so my testing might look different than your testing. I've been through those tests. I've committed those sins. I've had to feel bad for that. I've had to wrestle through getting over that and pursuing Christ's likeness. But for some of us, there's a lot of testing that we just don't know. We're looking at the Word and we're trying to live it out, and we learn the hard way. We fall down. As a child is learning to walk, they'll fall down and get back up and keep going. Right? We do that. We should test and see what is good. Right? Test and see what is good, right? We should try to discern, try to understand through the Word and through experience. We should try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, because we want our lives to please God. We talked about soli Deo Gloria in Sunday school this morning, to the glory of God alone. And that is the purpose of our lives, is to glorify God, and as the Catechism says, and to enjoy Him forever, right? We want to glorify God with our lives. And so we should walk in light, and we should try with all our might to discern, to try to figure out what is pleasing to God in His Word. And we should, when we see what is good, we should walk in that way. Those who walk in light actively seek to please God with their lives. Walking in light means living lives in practice that is pleasing to God. Not only does the fruit of light lead to a life that pleases God, but also reveals the light of God to others, because light reveals God, as we saw in verses 7 and 8, right? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Right, walking as children of light also means revealing God's light in our daily lives. By our character and conduct, we bring God's light into a dark world, right? As God's light, we help others find their way to Christ, because the minds of unbelievers are blinded by Satan and their sin. Only as we witness to share Christ can light enter into those individuals. Just as a healthy person can help somebody else who is sick, so the believer can help those who are in sin to see the light of the glory of Christ. As we witness, as we shine the light of Christ, and as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved us, we're to go into all the world, right, and make disciples, teaching them all that God has commanded us, to teach them the gospel, to share the gospel, to teach them to be sanctified as God has sanctified us in the ways that He sanctifies us. Right? We can lead them out of darkness into God's marvelous light, so much as He's called them. Light reveals God. Light produces fruit. And third, light exposes what is wrong. Right? 11 through 14 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Right? The first command was a positive command to walk in light. The second command here is a negative command to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Right? Have you ever known an artist to paint in the dark? Would you ever take out a kitchen knife and dice up some veggies in a pitch black kitchen? Right? Would you want a surgeon to operate on you in the dark? You wouldn't want that. Right? Light reveals the truth and exposes the true character of what is. Right? This is why sinners stay clear of churches in the Bible. God's light reveals His true character, and the exposure is not complementary to darkness, because they can't coexist. Right? That. As believers, we're called to walk in light and refuse to fellowship with the darkness. We are commanded here to expose the dark things of sin for what they really are. So not only are we to avoid sin, it's not just you're a child of light now, so go and avoid sin. No, go and expose it by being a light in the world. Go and expose it, right? Listen to what Jesus said concerning Himself and us both. John 12, 46, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness." And then for us, Matthew 5, 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Right? The purpose of light is to displace darkness. That is our commission, to go into the world and shine the light of the gospel, exposing sin and making disciples. Right? No one receives Christ, comes into the kingdom of light, without being face to face with the terrible horror of their own sin. Right? And that comes by light that shines into their darkness and exposes it. Right? Again, if every light off was off in this room, of course we know the layout, but take a room full of stuff you've never been in before, you're going to want to turn on the light to see what's in there, right? And it's not seen until the light comes on, right? The sinner does not know. They're ignorant and they don't care. And so when the light shines into their darkness and now they see, of course God has to show them this, right? And they see their darkness. It is opportunity to present the gospel. It is opportunity for them to see there is hope. The purpose of light is to displace darkness, right? When Jesus was here on the earth, the perfection of His character and conduct exposed the sinful nature, the sinfulness of those around Him, right? This is one reason why the religious leaders wanted to kill Him, because of the light that He projected, right? It said in John 15, 22, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now that they have no excuse for their sin." Jesus has come and shined the light. Jesus has come and spoken the truth, has revealed truth through His words and His conduct. And now they are without excuse, those around Him, because He has revealed the great light. Right? And in like manner, when we live and walk and move and have our being in Christ, when we live as children of light, when we conduct ourselves as children of light, when we speak as children of light, there's no excuse for those around us because the light has shone. And if we're faithful to that, as children of light, we expose sin through our godly conduct, right? And perhaps you've seen this. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody who generally talks like a sailor and suddenly that they catch themselves because they're in your presence? Right? It's light. It's because of light. They don't want to reveal that. Or any other kind of situation where they would stop being who they normally act like when they're around you because they don't like light. They want to remain in darkness. They don't want to expose themselves before light, right? Not only are we not to continue in sin, but we are to live lives that shine the glory of Christ in our conduct and our words, so to expose the darkness around us. Verse 12 and 13 says, "For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. For when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." Kind of another contrast, that which is secret, that which is visible. Right? Light exposes what is wrong. The conduct of those who are light is good, right, and true. The conduct of those who are in darkness is shameful. Right? Much of what the sinner does is so shameful that we as children of light should not even mention or discuss it unless we must contradict it, right? The mere mention of some of these things could tempt us or others. Right? It's shameful to even speak of it, so to speak. And it's kind of a warning, I guess, in a sense. We don't need to know, that is to say, all that the sinner does and is doing in order to bring light to them. We just got to shine it. They know their sinfulness, right? And I've heard of people having this approach of going and seeing what all the world's into so that they can contradict it. That's dangerous, right? It's shameful what they do. We don't need to understand where they're coming from. We don't need to understand what they're into. We just need to shine the light of the glory of Christ, right? In our conduct and in our words. Verse 13 says, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." All right? What's the first thing you do, again, when you walk into a dark room? You turn on the light to expose everything that's in the darkness. Right? Sin operates in darkness, and light makes that sin visible. In order for the sinner to see their need for a Savior, they must see the depravity of their own hearts and lives. When we as believers live obedient lives in our conduct and words, we shine the light into the darkness of those who operate in secret. The light that you now are reveals what's wrong in the lives of those in darkness, right? We make sinners uncomfortable. The light of Christ reveals sin, and the gospel of Christ is the means God uses to awaken sinners to the life of Christ. Right? And this is not only in out there, but even in here. If one of us are in sin, we need the light to shine and expose that sin. Right? If somebody in amongst the church here is doing things in secret and it comes to the light, that is a good thing, that they may repent and be restored. Right? And the light does that. The light that is in us. Our conduct and our words, we expose through the Word of God, through the light. Right? It says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. I'm thinking of Ephesians 2:1 again. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. Right? And here the light has shone into the darkness. And he's looking to Isaiah 60 here, paraphrasing it. "But awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Isaiah 61:2 says, "Arise, Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Speaking of Jesus, but he is the light. He calls us the light, right? Arise, O sleeper. And that this is what we hope for when we do shine the light, especially out there, right? This is what we hope for, that God would say, arise, O sleeper, be risen from a spiritual grave, and the light of Christ would shine on them, right? When light shines into darkness, revealing sin, and the good news of Jesus is proclaimed, one of two things will happen, right? One of two things will happen. Number one, our hope and prayer is that the Holy Spirit would draw them to faith and repentance. As they look at their exposed sin and gaze upon the holiness of God, as we shine the light of Christ into the darkness of others, we should hope and expect that Christ would awaken the spiritually dead individual from death and shine into their lives through the good news of Jesus. That's our hope when the light shines into darkness. But more often, the truth is that many will not, right? Instead, they will hate you for exposing their sin. Jesus warned about that in John chapter 15, that many will hate you. We know that many will enter by the wide gate versus the few that enter by the narrow gate, right? And John 3:19-20, it says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Right? Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. That's why many will hate you, because you're light and you expose darkness. And they don't want you to expose their darkness because they love their sin. They love their darkness. That's the judgment. Verse 20 says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Right? Christians, we are to show by our lives and words that the darkness can't be ignored, right? Especially by God's people. As God's people, we must examine ourselves. We must ask ourselves, does my conduct, does my practice, in contrast to what I profess, match up? Right? And as people of light, we must help each other in that, right? We must, as light exposes sin, as God, as the Holy Spirit would work inside of you and expose your darkness, even if everybody else doesn't know, let us submit to the Holy Spirit. Let us submit and repent and look to Christ and seek the things that please Him. Right? Light exposes what is wrong, and when we walk in light, when we walk in character and integrity, Christ is honored, Christ is glorified, and we flourish, right? Is the light revealing sin in you? Right? Is there darkness? Is there those secret things that nobody else might know, but light shines on and eats you alive, that eats you up? If so, awaken. Awaken and let the light of Christ shine on you. Right? Let us not continue in darkness because it contradicts who you really are. Right? In order to be imitators of God, the light must reveal God to us. Only then can we walk in light, and we must. Our conduct must align to our confession. Those who walk in light will be evident as they bear the fruit of that light, right? That is goodness, that is righteousness, that is truth. Good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. Right? And Christ, who is the light, reveals God, produces in us good fruit that ultimately reveals what is wrong by contrast, giving opportunity to all men to repent. So let us walk in light, walk as children of light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us, Father, to imitate you as children of light. I pray that our conduct, our practice, that you would work in us, that it may match our profession, who you've called us to be as you are conforming us to the image of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would reveal God to us through this light if we don't know him. If there is any who does not know you, who loves their sin and lives in darkness, I pray that your light would shine in their hearts and minds, and that you would give the knowledge of the glory of Christ. Father, I pray that you would cause us to bear fruit, the fruit that light produces, the fruit of the Spirit, that Father, as your light shines amongst us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that it would keep us, that it would expose our sin continually, and that we would more and more begin to bear the fruit of light, that we would begin to desire to do what is good and to proactively seek to avoid that which is evil for your glory. And Father, I pray that you would help us not only to not take part in the works of evil and the works of unrighteousness, but Lord, help us to expose it. That through our conduct, Father, as you work in us and through us, as we abstain from the things that sicken you, may it be noticed by men that we are different than others because of the light. And through our words, Lord, that you would help us in love to expose darkness, that the gospel might go forth and save sinners. Father, we thank you. I love you. Make us to be children of light that bring glory to you, who is the true light. In Jesus' name, amen.